searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power.
And we're watching that abuse of power come to a close, possibly today. Hi there. Welcome into this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. I'm Mark Congleton, your occasionally humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a little absurdity from time to time. It's good to have you along as we stand on the precipice of a weekend and wish we had a hang glider. I tell you, the weekend is here, and I hope you have a good one planned. And I hope it includes getting away from all of the lunacy that's going on. And when I say lunacy, of course, I'm referring to the idiocy that's going on in Washington, D.C., this dog and pony show, the circus, which it looks like it's taking a final bow today. It could. It very well could. Remains to be seen. But fingers crossed, we hope it happens today. It's tiring. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's what the heck is going on here? it's why, it is just crazy. And I really hope it comes to an end today. I really hope it does. It is a, hang on here. It's funny how the internet works sometimes. I have pages open with stories I'm going to be talking about today. And one of the stories, which opened up, looked just absolutely great. Everything was fine. And now it's freaking out on me. It will not show me the page I want. So that's kind of strange. Well, we'll see what happens. Let's see here. Let's try opening that up again, shall we? Okay. It is entirely possible that we will see the end of this dog and pony show today. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell, early in the morning, was talking about not having enough Republican votes to shut down more witnesses. I suspect that was just politicking. I think he was pretty sure he did, and he was just letting that float out there so that some would say, I need to get off the stump here and do something. And today he has the votes. I just kind of think that's the way it is. I think. We'll see. We'll see. So how's your day going so far? I mean, I'm glad you're listening. Thank you so much. If you're joining live on Facebook, hey, glad to have you along for the ride on Facebook Live this morning. The podcast is up on the Daily Perspective Podcast Facebook page and on the Mark Congleton Facebook page. Good to have you in both places, wherever you may be. Thanks for being there. It's also going digitally recording into computers across the room, which will then spit it back out again, and I'll put it up for podcast consumption immediately after the show, usually less than half an hour. After we've wrapped this hour up, the show is available for download for podcast. Well, thank you for listening. If you're listening via podcast, I'm glad you're there. And I hope your day, regardless of whether you're listening live or you're listening later, I hope it's been good so far and that it's going to be good for the rest of the day. I hope yesterday was good. Yesterday was good around here. I had another one of those days in the studio where I took a quick break for lunch, which didn't consist of much, honestly. I just snagged something really quick and went back to work again. And then before I knew it, it's like 6 o'clock in the evening, and I'm staring at something trying to come up with a solution for it. And I realize I'm going in circles. And you know how that is. I talked about this the other day, where you stare at something and you're trying to work something out and you find you're doing more staring than working. And what do you do when you hit that point? You push away and you walk away. And you put it away until later when your brain is clear and you can think. And that's what I did. So, and it's funny how fast that all happens. Seemingly hours go by while you're working on little bits and pieces and details and the like. And then you find yourself spinning in little circles over a problem you can't solve. And then you realize, yeah, it's time to put that away. and either work on something else or just call it a day. So I called it a day, and then my wife got home not too long after that, and we just kind of tucked in for the evening and bored ourselves. Basically, we dove into DVR land last night and watched things that we haven't had a chance to watch yet, and that was good. That's always good. And today, let's see, today I have limited studio time because I have other things I have to get out for, and I'll be taking care of business outside the studio, and hopefully getting back in sometime mid-afternoon to continue working on the little website project I've been working on, which is, it's been interesting for me. It's a platform I'm familiar with, but it's a software package I'm not familiar with, and it all looks very, I mean, on the surface, it all looks very simple. They tell you, oh, it's drag and drop. This is simple stuff. You just find the piece you want and drag it into the template. And bingo, you got your website. Not so much. Yes, it's drag and drop. But when it comes to making sure that everything looks the way you want, it's not that simple. For example, there's one menu. I think I mentioned this the other day. There's one menu. There's one stinking little menu that pops up. It's in the header. It's at the top of every page. It's a little menu. You know, you see them on every website. Home, discussions, contact, that kind of stuff. It's all right up at the top. Well, I can't change the font. It's driving me crazy. It doesn't match anything else, which means, what does it mean? It means I get to build it myself. Yay. Anyway, that's part of what I'll be working on today. That's my life. I know you're jealous. But back to the issues at hand, it looks like we may be seeing a wrap-up today. And we've also seen some interesting goings-on. For example, Chief Justice Roberts refused to ask a question submitted by Senator Rand Paul. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, presiding over President Donald Trump's Senate impeachment trial, blocked Senator Rand Paul from asking a question Thursday during the trial. Now, when you consider the question that was asked, submitted by Elizabeth Warren, when you consider the fact that he read that trash, but he didn't read Senator Rand Paul's question, it makes you really question where Chief Justice John Roberts' mind really is. At least it does for me. And I have audio here. Rand Paul stood before the reporters and actually told them what this was all about.
As you may have noticed, we had something slightly atypical downstairs. I asked a question and the question was refused. Now, it's been reported that this question's about this or about that, and it's been refused for one reason or another. I can tell you that my question made no reference to any whistleblower or any kind of person, a complainant from a whistleblower. But I will read you the question so it can be made part of the public record. Manager Schiff and counsel for the president, are you aware that House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko has a close relationship with Eric Chiaramella when at the National Security Council together? Are you aware, and how do you respond to reports that Chiaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings? I think this is an important question, one that deserves to be asked. It makes no reference to anybody who may or may not be a whistleblower. The manager Schiff says he has no knowledge. If he has no knowledge, the rest of us can have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. The president's team says they have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. I think it was an incorrect finding to not allow a question that makes no reference. It means that anybody ever said might have been a whistleblower could never be discussed in a proceeding. I think it's very important whether or not a group of Democratic activists, part of the Obama-Biden administration, were working together for years looking for an opportunity to impeach the president. With that, I'll take a few questions.
Yeah, Sir Paul, I think it's pretty unprecedented.
Okay, well, the questions are going to be just, you know, they're You know how the press is. They ask the obvious questions, the questions he's already answered, so there's no sense in us going back over that. But here was the question once again. Let's see. Are you aware that the House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko had a close relationship with Eric Ciaramella while at the National Security Council together? And are you aware, and how do you respond to reports, that Ciaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings? And he said, my question is not about a whistleblower, as I have no independent information on his identity. My question is about the actions of known Obama partisans within the NSC and House staff, and how they are reported to have conspired before the impeachment proceedings had even begun. It's fairly common knowledge among people who've been following all of this, the details, the minutiae, that Eric Ciaramella is suspected to be the whistleblower. But since they will not identify the whistleblower legally, they are bound not to. Nobody will say whether he is or he is not. But it is a dead certain fact he is now, because so many have refused to answer questions about him. So many have refused to discuss him. So many have refused to touch the name. In fact, progressive publications have refused to publish the name. Facebook, at one time, censored every post with his name in it. If you put the words whistleblower and the name Eric Ciaramella in a Facebook post, within hours it would be gone. If you are a regular listener to this little podcast, you know I tested that and found it to be true. I posted his name a handful of times in context with the whistleblower situation, and each time when I came back, it was gone. I also crafted the post, screen captured the post, reposted the image of the post, and it stayed there. The reason being that programmers at Facebook had crafted a routine which searched for the words whistleblower, the word whistleblower, and the name Eric Ciaramella in posts, and when it found them together, it deleted the posts. So Facebook was even responsible. Even though nobody will admit that this guy is the whistleblower, they've been protecting him. Well, now we know that he conspired with his buddy Sean Misko to impeach the president, to take him out, those were his words, to take him out, well before the Democrat Party decided to get involved. Rand Paul simply asked the question, are we aware? Are we going to see about this? Are we going to talk about this? Are we going to look into it? And Chief Justice John Roberts said, no, sir, we are not going to talk about this. Now, we know that Chief Justice Roberts has a questionable track record. He basically helped the Democrats get Obamacare through by nudge, nudge, wink, wink. It's not a tax. It is a tax. It is a tax. Remember that exchange back then when he gave them what they needed to get it passed? So we have to question what he does and what he says. And we have to question his actions. when it comes to what he's doing now. And when you consider, you consider the fact that he let Elizabeth Warren ask a question, which was so bizarre and so insulting, and yet he wouldn't let Rand, he wouldn't let Senator Paul ask a question. After the break, we'll deal with Elizabeth Warren's question. And you think about it yourself. How does this compare to what Rand Paul asked? And why did he let that one through and not Rand Paul's question? That's coming up next as the Daily Perspective continues on this Friday edition. We're looking at the weekend. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. Good to have you along today. It's the Friday edition of the podcast, the 31st day of January, the final day of January, 2020. Groundhog Day is Sunday. Are you ready for Groundhog Day? Again. You know what that means. We've all got to dig out the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray and watch it this weekend. It still comes only once a year, right? It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I hope it is where you are as well. We were talking about what happened with Senator Rand Paul and his question and how it got bounced by Chief Justice John Roberts. Wouldn't even ask the question. And it's very, very suspicious. Very suspicious. And when you think about the fact that Elizabeth Warren asked a truly despicable question, and that was allowed to go through? Well, the Democrats have been asking despicable questions, but this one kind of rose above or sunk below, depending on your perspective, all the rest. According to Fox News, Chief Justice John Roberts seemed visibly irritated when Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat from Massachusetts, formally asked a question during President Trump's impeachment trial yesterday that referenced him and questioned the legitimacy of the Supreme Court and Constitution in relation to the proceedings. In accordance with Senate rules, Chief Justice of the United States must read aloud the questions posed by senators to the impeachment managers and the President's counsel. Roberts formally recognized Warren, a Democratic presidential candidate, who then submitted her written question to a clerk. Roberts read her question from the card, which referenced him. Quote, "At a time when large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government, does the fact that the Chief Justice is presiding over an impeachment trial in which Republican senators have thus far refused to allow witnesses or evidence contribute to the loss of legitimacy of the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution?" Let me read it again, because I stumbled through that. "At a time when large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government, does the fact that the Chief Justice is presiding over an impeachment trial in which Republican senators have thus far refused to allow witnesses or evidence contribute to the loss of legitimacy of the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution?" When he finished reading the question, he explicitly posed to the House impeachment managers. Roberts pursed his lips and shot a chagrined look. After a moment, Representative Adam Schiff, the Democrat of California, the lead impeachment manager, appeared at the dais to answer the question, standing mere feet in front of Roberts. Schiff appeared to try to distance himself from Warren's question, offering a short answer to the question before speaking at length about a tangential exchange. He said, "I would not say that it leads to a loss of confidence in the Chief Justice," he said, adding that Roberts has thus far presided admirably. Of course, Schiff and the Democrats are, shall I say, kissing up to Chief Justice Roberts. They are treating him very, very nicely. They're being very complimentary because they know they need him on their side, which is why he said that. He then quickly pivoted to a criticism of President Trump and a conversation he had about the impeachment trial with Representative Tom Malinowski, the Democrat from New Jersey. Schiff said Ambassador Kurt Volker had spoken in September 2019 with Ukrainian diplomat Andriy Yermak, and during the conversation he told him that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky should not do a political investigation of his predecessor Petro Poroshenko. Yermak replied, Schiff said, that Volker's remark was ironic because of the investigation the U.S. wants to do with the Clintons and the Bidens. Well, the rest is irrelevant. Actually, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is what just happened here. This question, at a time when large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government. Well, you have to remember Elizabeth Warren's perspective on things. Elizabeth Warren, for lack of a better term, is a commie. And I know that sounds inflammatory, and I know that sounds reactionary, but when you look at what she wants to do to this country, you can't see it any other way if you're honest. Large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government. This is not an inaccurate statement, but from her perspective, she believes that government needs to be scrapped and rebuilt. And it needs to be a socialist government, which would lead to a communist empire, basically speaking. A lot of Americans have lost their faith in government. When you realize and remember that approval ratings for Congress are usually in the single digits. Yes, usually in the single digits. People really don't trust Congress at all. And that's one reason that Donald Trump is so popular. It's because people hate government, generally, and they hate politicians, generally, and they realize that Donald Trump is not a politician. He doesn't fit the mold. He's not playing their game. And he's doing what he campaigned and promised to do, unlike every other politician who succeeds in winning their office. And I say that, and you need to be honest with yourself about this. When you look at what other presidents have done, they get into office and they go through motions, but they don't do the things they said they would do. Do you remember George H.W. Bush? No, I read my lips, no new taxes. And then not long after he's in office, he comes back and says, this is the hardest thing I've ever worked on. I've tried so hard, but we have to raise taxes to get these things done. He made a campaign promise, as most politicians do. He knew he could not fulfill. He knew he had to make that campaign promise in order to win the vote. He knew he couldn't win unless he made the promise. So he made the promise he knew he couldn't keep. Unless you've been under a rock for the last few weeks, you've seen a lot of commercials paid for by billionaire Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg is making statements, making promises in all of these commercials he cannot legally keep. He's promising to do things which can't be done unless a lot of other things fall into place. And some of those things are completely unconstitutional. But he's making the promises in his ads because he knows that if he promises enough candy, the children will come running to his van. And that's what's going on. Large majorities of Americans have lost faith in government and they want things to change. But not the way Elizabeth Warren or Michael Bloomberg wants them to change. They want things, they want to be relieved of the burden that government is placing on them. They want to know and have some confidence that the people that they vote for are honest and are going to do good things for them because they're there to represent them. Now, the rest of her question, does the fact that the Chief Justice is presiding over an impeachment trial in which Republican senators have thus far refused to allow witnesses or evidence contribute to the loss of legitimacy of the Chief Justice, the Supreme Court, and the Constitution? In other words, because the Republicans are so evil that they will not allow witnesses or evidence in this, doesn't that taint the integrity and legitimacy of the Chief Justice and the Supreme Court and the Constitution? The fact that these evil Republicans are cheating? Well, she ignores the fact that the Democrats in the House only allowed what they wanted and disallowed anything that which would damage their case against the president. They refused to allow the witnesses the Republicans wanted to call, and the Republicans did try to call witnesses. They ignored the testimony of the people who did come forward as witnesses and translated what they had to say into what they wanted the public to hear. And when all of those statements were picked apart by Republicans during the process, all of the truth that was revealed was completely ignored, and the lies were what were pushed forward to the progressive press, and the progressive press, like the good little lapdog that it is, walked out the doors and talked to the cameras and repeated the lies. Now, Chief Justice Roberts let this question go. He stared her down for about 5 seconds. It was quiet and uncomfortable, because that was a purely political ploy. It was a purely political question. She's campaigning for the Democrat nomination for the presidential race. And so she used the opportunity to grandstand. And yet, he read the question. And he wouldn't read a legitimate question. This was an illegitimate question, by the way. It was ridiculous. But the legitimate question about conspiracy going on before the Democrats started this impeachment investigation, with this conspiracy within the Obama administration, that's a legitimate question. He did not allow.
Yeah, you were funny. You're funny, all right. You're a scream. You'll get a job on one of those excursion boats.
Ooh, an excursion boat? I'd go for that job. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along for this Friday edition of the podcast. We were talking about Elizabeth Warren and her question, and Chief John Roberts and the way he disallowed Rand Paul's question, a legitimate question. And it reminded me that there's a story that popped up the other day that I stuck in the stack, but we never got to, about Elizabeth Warren, who wants to criminalize spreading false information via social media, using the internet to spread false information. She wants to criminalize that. Well, here's the thing. That sounds good on the surface, but when you really get down to it, we're talking about transgressing the First Amendment, freedom of speech. You may be thinking, well, how are lies freedom of speech? Freedom of speech covers all speech, whether you like it or not. When you involve the government in doing your work for you, then you're abdicating your responsibility to use your brain and find out what's real and what's not. And people like Elizabeth Warren want exactly that. They want the government to do your thinking for you. And when you think about this for just a moment, you realize that people like Elizabeth Warren, who have lied to us about their lives, about their history, about their past, about their jobs, about everything in their lives. And we know she has lied to us about so many things. She wants us to trust her with who would decide what is true and what is false on social media? No thanks. No thanks at all. Thank you very much. Well, today being Friday and the end of a week of idiocy in the Senate, it looks like we may be seeing an end to the dog and pony show. a ginormous sigh of relief and a round of applause. Yes, yes, yes. It looks like things are ending. Come on, yes. There's a different group of people there. Oh, yes. And then there's those people. Oh, they're very happy about it. Ah, yes. And finally. Ah, that's good news. Republican Senator Lamar Alexander announced at the conclusion of the Senate impeachment trial Q&A period that he will vote no today on calling additional impeachment witnesses, which would extend the proceedings past the weekend and beyond. This is coming from PJ Media. Retiring Senator Tennessee from Senator retiring Senator from Tennessee. I promise I actually can speak and read, who has nothing to gain or lose politically with his vote, announced on Twitter that there is no need for more evidence to prove something that has already been proven and that does not meet the U.S. Constitution's high bar for an impeachable offense. Wow. Here's what he tweeted. I worked with other senators to make sure that we have the right to ask for more documents and witnesses, but there is no need for more evidence to prove something that's already been proven and that does not meet the U.S. Constitution's high bar for an impeachable offense. There is no need for more evidence to conclude that the president withheld United States aid, at least in part, to pressure Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. The House managers have proved this with what they call a mountain of overwhelming evidence. Well, Alexander's decision all but guarantees that the impeachment trial will conclude this weekend with a vote to acquit the president, because despite the defection of Senator Susan Collins, who announced Thursday night that she will vote to call more witnesses, Republicans will likely have enough votes to block the motion. Republican Senators Mitt Romney and Lisa Murkowski have yet to announce how they will vote, but it's thought their votes will not be needed. Thank goodness for that. Mitt Romney might as well just change parties. He may as well. Democrats had hoped to continue to drag their partisan show trial out as long as possible by calling in additional witnesses, while Republicans were threatening to call witnesses of their own, including Joe and Hunter Biden. Now it all appears to have come to naught. Senator Ted Cruz told Fox News after the Senate adjourned for the night that the chances of additional witnesses have plummeted. We're likely to move on Saturday to final judgment, after which the president will be acquitted. A note on Senate rules. With the world's greatest deliberative body split 53-45 in favor of Republicans, three GOP defections would result in a tie. Four would allow the Democrats to prevail. With Alexander out of play, a tie seems unlikely unless the Dems can secure another defection before the vote. What happens if there's a tie? No one really knows. Senator John Kennedy, the Republican from Louisiana, says it's possible we'll have a 50-50 vote. Is it possible? Of course. What'll happen after that? I don't think anybody knows. Well, normally when there's a tie, the vice president casts the deciding vote, but with Chief Justice John Roberts prevailing over the impeachment trial, Democrats have been making the case that he should cast the deciding vote. Would he want to insert himself into such a high-profile vote? We'd hope not, but we all remembered what happened with the Obamacare SCOTUS decision. John really, it's a tax. Roberts ensured that his legacy would be enabling government-run health care. Stay tuned. This is what I was talking about a while ago. Now, the way things work in the Senate, if the Senate is tied, the vice president casts the deciding vote. That is how the Senate runs. The Democrats know how Pence would vote, Vice President Pence. They know how he's going to vote. He's going to vote with the Republican majority. He's going to vote to acquit the president. And so they are campaigning for the man who helped them win Obamacare to cast the deciding vote. So now you understand why they're being so nice to John Roberts. They are kissing up to the man because they know they need his vote. Should the Senate decide to change the rules and allow him to be the deciding vote? Honestly, I don't know how this stacks up, but I know that the way things normally work in the Senate is that if the Senate is at an impasse and the vote on an issue is tied, then the vice president, who oversees the Senate, casts that deciding vote. That's how it's supposed to work. So it looks like things are stacking up so that the shenanigans all end today and that the final vote will be held tomorrow. Unless something dramatic happens, unless something bizarre happens, unless something really strange and really, extreme happens. Things are over. But that's the way it's stacking up right now. We'll see. We can hope. But please keep this in mind, that if everything does come to a halt, if everything does end, if it's all over in the Senate this weekend, then Monday morning, actually, who am I kidding? As soon, within mere moments, I would say, of the vote being finalized in the Senate, you will see House Speaker Nancy Pelosi step up before television cameras and announce the next phase of their campaign to make America ungovernable. You will see Nancy Pelosi step up and announce what they are going to accuse him of next. And you will see her announce the beginning of another session of complete non-productivity from the people elected by the American public to represent them in Congress. As soon as this ends, the next wave begins. Because the Democrats are not focused on anything but eliminating Donald Trump from office and eliminating his chances of winning this fall. If they can find a way to remove him from office or to damage him so badly that he can't win, then that is what they will count as success. Not succeeding in working for the American people, not succeeding in representing the people back home on the issues they hope that they will stand for them on in Washington, D.C., but in taking the vote away from millions upon millions of Americans who put our president in office. Because the Democrats can't win on their policies. The Democrats can't win on their candidates. Just look at their candidates. We've already talked about Elizabeth Warren. She's crazy. And then there's Bernie Sanders. He's crazier. Look at the rest. They're all just different degrees of nuts. These people want to change this country into something it was not founded to be. Every candidate, every last one, yes, even Kelsey Gabbard, even Tulsi Gabbard, even her, she doesn't talk like it, but her positions are almost as bad as everybody else. When you look at every one of these people, you'll see that they want to continue the legacy of the person that was that left office a couple of years ago. Each and every one of them want.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
They all want this transformation to take place. They all campaign on representing every American, how the system is unfair. They all campaign on the downtrodden and the various victim classes. All of them do. They all highlight victimhood instead of focusing on the opportunity afforded to every American to succeed if they just apply themselves. They want to be the hero for different groups of people who need a hero. And they keep programming the brains of these people and convincing them that they're victims and telling them that they're downtrodden and telling them that everything in America is stacked against them. It's unfair and nothing works in America except for the richest of the rich. It's a lie. Because the richest of the rich in America didn't all inherit their money. And those who did inherited their money from people who made their money by succeeding on the playing field that is the fair playing field in the United States of America. The opportunity is there. The difference between Democrats and Republicans is that Republicans want to make the opportunity equal for everyone. And the Democrats want to make the outcome equal for everyone. And that's what they campaign on. And if you don't have the same outcome, then somebody's cheating you, they're stealing from you, they're keeping you from succeeding. And that is just another leftist lie. Thank God it's Friday. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective, diving into the final segment for this day and for this week. He's talking about the difference between Democrats and Republicans, the difference between the way liberals and conservatives think. Milton Friedman once said, "The society that puts equality before freedom will end up with neither." The society that puts equality before freedom will end up with neither. And that's because the society that wants equality will trust that into the government's hand. They want that freedom. They hand it to government to make it happen. And government's bad at everything. And so what eventually happens is a set of rules and regulations that takes everybody's freedom away so that everybody will be equal. Just look at every socialist government on the planet, and you'll see the example is there. How true. Well, I'm looking at a couple of stories I have left in the stack here, and I'm doing the coin flip thing again. I think I'm going to go with this one. Coming from PJ Media, multiple sources have confirmed a report by French news site Le Crisis. This is French. What do you do? Report that former Ukrainian prosecutor general Viktor Shokin, the guy who got fired because of Joe Biden, has filed a complaint with Ukraine's National Bureau of Investigation this week, demanding an investigation be launched against Joe Biden, who successfully pressured the Ukraine government to fire him and protect Burisma Holdings, the company his son Hunter sat on the board of, making $83,000 a month, that's $1 million a year, despite having no experience related to their business. Shokin alleges in his filing that Biden orchestrated his ouster as prosecutor general in order to prevent the completion of his investigation of the notoriously corrupt natural gas company Burisma Holdings. During the period of 2014 to 2016, the Prosecutor General's Office of Ukraine was conducting a preliminary investigation into a series of serious crimes committed by the former Minister of Ecology of Ukraine, Mykola Zlochevsky, and by the managers of the company Burisma Holding Limited, the board of directors of which included, among others, Hunter Biden, son of Joseph Biden, then Vice President of the United States of America. Shokin contends the investigation was carried out in strict accordance with criminal law and under his personal control as the Prosecutor General of Ukraine. He says, "Owing to my firm position on the above-mentioned cases regarding their prompt and objective investigation, which should have resulted in the arrest and the indictment of the guilty parties, Joseph Biden developed a firmly hostile attitude towards me, which led him to express in private conversations with senior Ukrainian officials, as well as in his public speeches, a categorical request for my immediate dismissal from the post of Attorney General of Ukraine in exchange for the sum of U.S. $1 billion as a financial guarantee from the United States for the benefit of Ukraine." He cites as evidence the publicly available video of Joe Biden bragging about the quid pro quo, which ultimately got him fired. In his complaint, Shokin elaborated on Biden's efforts to have him removed, saying, throughout the last 25 months, or the last months of 2015 and the first months of 2016, Joseph Biden, taking advantage of his position, came several times on official visits to Ukraine in order to negotiate with the leaders of the country my eviction and, consequently, the closing of the objective investigation into the offenses committed by persons associated with the company Burisma Holding Limited, including the son of the aforementioned U.S. official. Due to continued pressure from the Vice President of the United States, Joseph Biden, to oust me from the job by blackmailing the allocation of financial assistance, I, as the man who places the state interest above my personal interest, I agreed to abandon the post of Prosecutor General of Ukraine. Well, according to Shokin, after his ouster, no active investigation into the offenses concerning the company Burisma Holding Limited was carried out, and therefore, the persons implicated in these offenses were not identified, nor arrested or charged. In other words, thanks to Biden, Burisma and his son Hunter were off the hook. He says, thus, the unlawful influence exerted on me as the head of a judicial structure in the country by Joseph Biden, who abused his power as the Vice President of the United States in order to prevent me from carrying out my duties as the Prosecutor General of Ukraine, thus preventing me from solving serious crimes and arresting the persons who committed those crimes, has the characteristics of the crime stipulated in Article 343, Part 2 of the Criminal Code of Ukraine. Now, Donald Trump was impeached by the House Democrats for suggesting that the corruption of Burisma and the Bidens ought to be looked at by Ukraine. Shokin's filing gives Republicans even more ammo to say that Hunter Biden is a relevant witness for the impeachment trial, or even beyond, I would say. In fact, it's quite clear that if more witnesses ultimately were called, Viktor Shokin should also be brought in. And that's an article by Matt Margolis over at PJ Media. So now we see some more of what was going on in Ukraine at the time. And now we know that Viktor Shokin is suing Joe Biden because Joe Biden was playing political games that resulted in the loss of his job. And more, actually. So Biden's son, Hunter, making $1 million a year, on the board of directors of a gas company, even though he has zero, and I say it again, zero experience in the gas, natural gas business, he's got this position on the board. And I think by now, after everything we have seen and heard, it's fair to say he got the position because of his last name and because of his relationship to the second most powerful person in the United States of America. He was the son of the Vice President of the United States. And Burisma Holdings, by the way, it's Burisma Holdings, Cyprus is what it's called. And every time it says in this article, it says Burisma Holding Limited. That's from the legal filing. It's Burisma Holding Limited, and in parentheses it says Cyprus. But every time, this guy's on the board. He's making $1 million a year. No experience in the field whatsoever. Why? Well, he has said he was on the board of other things. He's talked about his experience being on the board in other places. Well, when you look at Joe Biden's life history, he's got a lot of experience being a major screw-up. He got booted from the military because of his drug habit. He's been on the boards of other places, but he's been on the boards of other businesses because of his daddy. He's had no experience in those particular fields. He's just gotten appointments because his father just happened to be the second most powerful man in America. And some would arguably say the second most powerful man in the world. He's just a heartbeat away from the presidency. That's why he got the jobs. And so I think it's fair to say that that's why Burisma Holdings put him on the board. He sure didn't get the job because of his experience. And now Joe Biden's being sued because of the whole mess. It'll be interesting to follow this and to see where it goes. Will it get any traction? Who knows? You can be sure, though, that the mainstream press is going to ignore it. You won't hear about it. And that's another story. They're also in the bed with all of these other criminals. Well, that's all for this week. God bless you. Have a good weekend. Let's meet back here tomorrow for the next, or Monday, that is, for the next edition of the Daily Perspective. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?